Welcome, listener. Close the shades. Light a candle. Brace yourself. The night is young, and a story awaits you. There is so much to tell. Without further ado, Friends of the Bone Chariot presents Welcome to Madawaska.
March 20th, 1949. The Aroostook County train travels northbound through the woods of Maine. Out the window, a gray sky looms over an expanse of forest. Fresh snow covers the forest floor, the tops of the pines blanketed in white. Inside, there are four passengers headed towards their final stop, Madawaska.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Inez de la Bouche.
Inez travels to Madawaska to visit an old friend, Stella Sear. Unbeknownst to Inez, Stella has disappeared since their last correspondence.
Inez, you speak English?
Yes, I speak fluent English. I am from Montreal. You look familiar yourself.
Yeah, have you? You've been to New York City, yes? Oh.
Yes. I am an artist. I have a famous piece called Les Femmes Mortes. You may have heard of it. So, yes, I've been to the Big Apple. What is your name?
I'm Rose. Rose Young.
Rose, a writer from New York City and Stella Sears' niece, received word from Stella's husband, Vernon, that Stella is missing.
It's awful nice to meet you. It's me, Skiff Ruffman.
Skiff, an entrepreneur and old family friend of the Sears, is on his way to rendezvous with Vernon for their annual hunting trip.
It's great to be on this train. My name's Skiff. I'm also from Canada. I'm from the other coast. I'm from B.C., British Columbia. You heard of it, Inez?
Yes, of course. But I'm a French-Canadian, so you know how I feel. What is your profession again?
I started out as a lowly oyster farmer. But now I have come up with some pretty innovative systems for harvesting oysters in a eco-friendly way. And since then, I pretty much am an agricultural, oyster-cultural guru. But that's neither here nor there.
Aphrodisiac.
All day. Every meal.
Skip, are you saying that you're eating oysters for literally every meal?
Skip reaches into his pocket and he pulls out just a quick oyster. I pull out my oyster shucking knife, cracks one open, and he says, that's right. And he knocks it back.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful, Skip.
I do not think that is very healthy.
And who are you? You mysterious hunk of meat.
I am Christoph Dabrowski.
Christoph travels to Madawaska on the behest of Claude Pelletier. Claude, himself a veteran of the First World War, has offered Christoph the job of caretaker of Madawaska's eldest resident, Zadok Allen.
I am hospice care worker.
Very warm.
Pulling out of the woods, the train rides just south of the St. John's River. On the other side of the tracks, downtown passes by in the window.
Madawaska.
It's very dreary.
Yes, I've never been here before, but I'm visiting a friend, Stella Sear.
You spoke to Stella recently?
You seem confused. I have a letter here from her. March 4th is when it's dated. She told me I could come and stay in her mother-in-law setup. I don't know what that is, but I assume it is an apartment that I can stay in with her.
Yeah, I have a letter from Uncle Vernon, and I don't know how to tell you this, but Stella's been missing. No one knows where she is.
What?
When was the date of that letter?
March 17th is when Uncle Vernon sent it. I sent a letter to Stella, and I didn't hear back, and I got really worried, and I actually phoned Uncle Vernon, and he told me she was missing.
Oh, I have to say, this is very upsetting to me. You see, Stella was my muse. I was coming to get inspiration for my next art project. I need to find her, so if I can be of service to you in any way, I will be coming with you to help find Stella.
I've known Vernon and the Sears for many, many years through my travels, and this is horrible news. Stella's such a wonderful person. To hear of her absence, I'm sure Vernon is destroyed right now.
So you're here to see Vernon as well?
I'm here to see Vernon. As a matter of fact, he and I were going to go out on a hunting trip.
I'm not sure what we should do for Vernon or the family.
Well, seems like we're all heading to the same place. Chris? Can we call you Chris?
Yes.
Are you here to see the steers as well?
Well, not exactly. I am here for Zadok Allen. He is an old man I must take care of. But I was told that I would have more work from Vernon Seer. Well, if he is in crisis, I don't think I can get that work.
It seems like we all here have close connections with that family. I'm sure we could be of some assistance.
Just beyond downtown, the train tracks lead past Fraser Paper Mills. The mill looms large in the distance, smokestacks billowing. As the train approaches the mill, it passes by a large construction site with a massive foundation dug into the earth. The train slows, passing workers loading reams of paper into stock cars, their breaths thick puffs of mist against the cold air. The train comes to a halt at a small platform just a few hundred yards beyond the paper mill. There are no buildings or ticket booths, only a single sign that reads, "Welcome to Madawaska." The conductor exits the train. He calls out, "Last stop." And as he does, an old man that's sitting on a bench nearby gets up and walks over to him, and they talk for a little bit. The old man has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, unlit. He sees you and he approaches you. "Hey, I'm sorry to bother you, but do you have a light?"
Of course, yes, of course I have one. I'm French-Canadian. I light a match.
He strikes it against the bottom of his shoe. He lights a smoke and, "Thanks, must have dropped my matches somewhere in the mill."
"Yeah, you work for Vernon?"
Yeah, I do indeed, pal. Name's Ralph Greckle."
"Well, I light myself a cigarette as well, and I say, did you know about Stella?"
"Yeah, she's missing in about a week now. That's what the radio said. Poor Vernon."
"Well, Stella is an old friend of mine, an old friend, so it's of grave concern to me where she is, if she's okay."
"Are you here to see Vernon? He's at the mill, which is just, you know, a few hundred yards that way. I could easily lead you to his office."
"Do you like an oyster?"
I would never say no to an oyster."
"I as well would like an oyster. I'm a little overwhelmed."
I go to open my fisherman's coat and just oysters just are like falling out of my pockets, and I'm like scrambling to pick them back up and put them in. And I like grab a couple and I pull out my shucking knife and I shuck you open a winter pearl and I pass it over to you. Would anybody else like an oyster? Here, have an oyster. Just have one.
Thank you. Delicious.
Yeah,
a little warm, but good. Yes.
Tastes about body temperature.
It's been there for a couple days.
Christoph? Chris?
Here.
Aphrodisiac, perhaps?
Yes, it's very efficient protein. Give me one.
So I crack open the biggest one that I have, and I say, "Just for you." But I'm like intently watching to make sure you enjoy.
You enter into Fraser Paper Mills, and all of a sudden it's just roaring machinery all around you. You know, there's paper, like, you know, like turbines turning. Workers are kind of flowing in and around you, shouting over the thunder. There's a thick smell of sulfur. It just smells like hell farted in your face.
Oh,
fart.
There's also just a blast of heat along with the sulfur. And over the noise, Ralph turns to you and he goes, "The sulfur's like part of the process." He leads you through the factory, past the loading docks that you saw on the train, and he leads you to the construction site. And when they lead you, there's two men, they're talking, and you recognize one of the men as Vernon Seer. When he turns, he sees you, and he runs over and immediately goes to Rose. He goes, "Rose, you came."
I give him a big hug.
Yeah, turns to you, Skiff, and he shakes your hand and he says, "Ruffman.
Yeah.
Sure, she must have told you. I'm sorry. I should have wrote you. I can't believe you're here. I'm sorry."
"Don't you worry two bits about it."
"Inez, how long has it been?"
"Many years, Vernon. Good to see you, I suppose."
"I suppose it is."
"You've aged well."
He's looking at his. "Well, thanks. This is unexpected, very least. I'm glad to see you. I'm sure Stella will love to see you when she returns."
"Oh, yes, when she returns."
There's a man a few yards away in a business suit with a big beard. He's talking to some construction workers, and Vernon kind of waves him over, and man walks over, and Vernon says, "This is Claude, everyone. Claude Pelletier." "Yeah, Claude runs the construction crews that are working on the expansion of the mill." Claude nods and says, "Oh, it's nice to meet you all." Looks over at you, Chris, and he says, "You wouldn't happen to be Christoph, would you? My son kind of gave me a brief description of what you might look like."
Yes, Claude, I am Christoph. I decided to go with this group of people because they were very interesting.
Well, if you need any help getting all settled in around here, you let me know. And in the meantime, once you're all settled in, I'll set you up with an introduction to Zadok.
Also, you say that your first round is on you at the Red Lounge for me?
Absolutely. So everyone else around it calls it Lucy's. It's a, you know, kind of local thing here. The first round will be on me. Just let Lucy know. Don't worry, she'll put it on my tab. We'll be in touch.
Claude nods to the group and starts to walk away to talk to a group of construction workers, looking over some plans. Vernon says,
let's all go into my office and talk, please. He leads you, you know, past like back into the factory, up a flight of stairs. You get to Vernon's office.
It's a fine-looking office, Vernon.
It's sparsely furnished. Machines are quieter in here, and the door is closed. There's a desk in the middle. A framed photo of Vernon and Stella sits on his desk. Stella herself, quite an attractive woman. She's got a 70 appearance rating.
Ooh.
Yeah, that is my muse. That is her right there.
Can we all take a second to discuss our appearance ratings?
I am a 45, but I'm very smart, so think about that.
I'm a 50. Yeah, I'm a solid-looking fella. Solid.
Rose?
I'm a 55.
Oh.
But,
okay.
You know, get to know me a little better first.
Chris, I believe you said you're 40?
I am a rough 40.
Yes, you see, my muses are very high appearance rating, and Stella... Yes, she was one of the most beautiful. I stare off into through the window of the office and get misty-eyed.
So as you look around Vernon's office, there's another table against the eastern wall with a few bottles of kind of expensive spirits on a tray on top with a few glasses. There's a corkboard. Like various notices, building permits, and a large blueprint tacked onto it. On the western wall, there's a filing cabinet, and above the filing cabinet is a framed photo of a stern-looking man with a 75 appearance rating.
Oh, hello.
I feel intimidated, even looking at it.
I would make art about him.
He says, John Ward was the original architect of the Fraser Paper Mill. Him and his wife, they had a special mansion built. The company put us up in the house. You know, it's a beautiful, I came with this library, which, you know, Stella was just absolutely obsessed with.
Can we have some of this alcohol that you have in here?
I tell you, Inez, you read my mind. You're just brilliant. So as Vernon goes over to pour the drinks, Chris, you look at the blueprints and you can see that the blueprints seem to be cut off or something's just like missing from it.
It's very suspicious.
Vernon pours everyone a drink. Please have a seat.
Tell us what happened.
Unload.
Start at the beginning.
Unload on your friends.
You know, we weren't talking. She's working all the time on her art, her writing, and reading all these books. And meanwhile, everything is going wrong with this expansion. I understand the bottom line. I'm a capitalist myself, you know.
As we all are. We all look to each other and nod and shake. And we like reiterate that we're not into communism, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, not into communism.
Yes, no, we are all capitalists here. We all look around.
What books was Stella reading? Do you remember anything of, you know, the workings of her mind, anything of that beautiful soul, the things that she wanted to put pen to paper? She was an artist, a true artist. Do you remember anything of the gem that you held in your palm? No, of course not. A man.
I'm just going to pat Inez on the back. It's okay.
Vernon just completely oblivious to you ripping on him right now. We got in a horrible fight. Constantly writing. It was like her typewriter. Always going. It's like at all hours of the night, I would return home for a brief wink before I would be called upon again. And it's just, I snapped and I just yelled that I just wanted some peace and quiet. And she just said that I couldn't see, you know, the truth of things, that I was a fool. And she left into the night. The nights here are bitter.
How long ago was this fight that you had? When did Stella leave?
It was 5 nights ago. And look, she didn't take the car, and the police tell me that there's been no sight of her. So they think she's, look, I know the rumors. They think she's with somebody else. And at this point, I pray that true. And he just kind of like sits down and
I pour him another drink.
And he says,
as well as for me.
I guess I will help the nerves. Tosses it back. He says, look, I can't get away. There's several of you. You know, you could stay with us at the house. You know, there's places to eat around, and then I could try to, when I get off work, meet you at the house and let you in. And then we can kind of get a game plan for finding Stella.
Absolutely.
Vernon, I have a question for you. You say it was, is the, this whole establishment is John's brilliance. What about the part that is still under construction?
Look, John was a very hands-on kind of guy. I'm trying to follow those footsteps. And, you know, it's been 12 years since his untimely passing. He's a relatively young man, I believe. He's a similar age to myself. But unfortunately, the use of explosives can be quite dangerous. And John was caught in a collapse in a cave.
What kind of explosives?
Well, you would have to talk to maybe the engineers or the workers of sort of that thing. I don't actually handle the explosives directly. I've seen them. They look to be red sticks of some type.
Interesting. Sorry, in hospice, we often see explosive injuries, so I'm curious.
Hospice, you say?
Chris, you are interesting.
I like the cut of your
There's gym. A lot of interest in the explosives, Christopher.
You can call me Chris, make it easy.
Is there like a window or something in this office room?
So there is a window behind the desk. The window overlooks the construction site, so you can kind of see out on the construction site and the river.
I just look out over to see, like, what machinery they're using. Can I do a spot hidden, maybe?
But from this distance, it's going to be a hard...
It's going to be a hard gaze.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard gaze.
I just look out and I just see paper mill stuff. It's like, yep, all in order here, as expected.
You're an aquaculturist.
Well, I mean, I'm more familiar with machinery of the sea, boats and whatnot.
You're fascinating, man.
So Vernon tells you he doesn't have the keys on him to get into the apartment.
Well, was there not an option to go have a drink at the bar and wait for him?
Yes, the Red Lounge. I have first round on me.
Vernon says, if you'd like to go to the Red Lounge, you know, have a drink. They have some fantastic, it's called fries with gravy and cheese. Have you ever had it? It's called, I forget what,
poutine. If you were a French Canadian, you would not.
I believe it's pronounced poutine. Okay. I too am Canadian. It is poutine.
How dare you speak of this without really knowing
Québécois.
What it is?
Ah. My hands in the air.
Uncle Vernon, we're gonna go enjoy some poutine at Lucy's. And I really don't have any money, as you know, so I need to stay at the house if I'm to help you, and I would love to help, so maybe we can meet there and then let us all in when you get off work.
I will stop by. I will meet you at Lucy's. Put everything on my tab.
Do I get the sense that an oyster would help or hurt?
So you can definitely try to throw an oyster at the situation.
Yeah, I'm going to throw an oyster at this situation. I'm going to reach over. I'm going to pat Vernon on the shoulder, and I'm going to say, there, have an oyster. And I reach in, I pull out my shucking knife, and I lick it just to clean off the brine and the gunk from the last couple. And then I shuck an oyster, and I hand it to him, and I say, enjoy it. It's room temp.
So he shoots down the oyster, and you just see kind of his color draining out of his face. And he's just like, I tell you, Skiff, I always had the finest oysters. Sorry, do you hear that? It seems like the bell. I have to go. And he grabs his stomach and he runs out.
I've never seen that before. That's definitely never happened to me, Skiff Ruffman, oyster farmer. Absolutely not. And I have one to show that they're fine.
You are listening to WKTM 660, Madawaska's public radio station. Here's the news at the top of the hour for March 20th, 1949. We're in for another scorcher, folks, with a high of 22 and low of 12 degrees Fahrenheit. For metric system-based listeners just across the St. Johns River, that would be, pretty cold. Local authorities continue the search for Stella Sear, last seen on March 13. Anyone with information regarding the whereabouts of Stella Sear should call 783-552. And if you find yourself searching for a thrilling evening look no further than the Junior Hockey Showdown of the Madawaska Bobcats versus the Edmonton Blizzard. Come witness the brutality of beast versus nature at the Madawaska Multipurpose Center on 7th Avenue tonight at 6 p.m. sharp. Look out, Blizzards! These cats are ferocious! Next week begins the 6th annual Maple Fest in Madawaska, where local, regional, and national maple superstar come. Philosophical maple debates.
So a burst of warm air, rich with cigarette smoke, booze, and revelry, rushes out as our investigators move into the Red Lounge Inn. There's low music playing, but it's barely audible above the clamor of a healthy portion of the town that's in the bar right now. There's a long bar with like several patrons. As you approach, a bartender comes up to you and she says, "Wow, looks like we got some new faces. Welcome to Lucy's. Can I get you something to drink?"
"Yes, a whiskey, s'il vous plaît. Merci."
"Absolutely. Finest Canadian rye for you. Does that sound all right?"
"Très bien."
"For y'all, what can I get everybody?"
"Do you have any local hooch you recommend?"
"I do have a fine beer brewed with some local wheat. I also have a potato vodka that will clean your teeth, I tell you."
"I will have potato vodka."
"Sign me up."
"Put it on Claude's tab."
"Potato vodka, I think, for everyone."
I'll take a beer as well."
So she pours out 4 shots of potato vodka and she says, "Please, I wanted to welcome you to Madawaska. The first round is on the house."
"What, does anyone else get the suspicion that there's a lot of people trying to get us drunk in this town? There's a lot of people offering to cover our tabs around here."
"Yes, ma'am, what is your name again?"
"My name is Lucy Medore. I am the proprietor of this fine establishment, the Red Lounge Inn."
"I just want to ask Lucy, if I drink this potato vodka, am I going to shit my insides out in the morning, or am I going to have fun and forget my memories?"
"She's like, I'm not a fortune teller per se. I would say that you definitely have a possibility of both."
"The vodka's fine, everyone."
Above the bar, above all the booze bottles, is a picture of a beautiful woman, 80 appearance rating. It's framed.
"It's almost too much."
"Tempted to make you all sanity roll."
"Is anyone else feeling a little loopy looking at this beautiful picture?"
"It is the work of art, the human body, when I see like that."
"Lucy, who is this woman about in this photo? This heavenly creature?"
"That right there is Lucille Ward. She actually is the namesake of the bar. I know it's kind of funny seeing as myself, I am also named Lucy. But the bar is actually named after her."
"Was she related to the John Ward of the mill as well?"
"God, it's just a shame what happened to that couple. It seems like ancient history, but then on some days it feels like I'm just still waiting for her to come through that door."
"What happened?"
"She says, it's not a memory I like to relive, but..."
"Would you like to have a drink with us?"
"Let's have a drink to Lucy." She pours another round of potato vodka. Cheers. She knocks it back. She says, "Poor Lucy." "No, she walked over to that bridge and it wasn't even finished yet. She got right to the middle and she plunged into the river and they never found her." And she closes her eyes and kind of wipes away a tear.
I offer her a kerchief. I pull it out of one of the same pockets that has oysters, and so I kind of have to shake it off a little bit first, but then I hand her a handkerchief.
"You got to remember, back when the mill was first built, Prohibition was an issue for us. I know that money exchanged some hands to make sure that we stayed afloat and that there wasn't any kind of raids during those times."
"So this place used to be a speakeasy."
"Well, we were a lounge of sorts. Lucille, she put some of her own money into this place. But Lucille, she kept us afloat. And she was a fantastic singer, a performer. I mean, like, you can see the stage over there. It's like, now we got tables there. We don't really get many performers around these parts. We only got real one musician willing to perform in town. And he's kind of washed out and he doesn't really perform anymore. So it's just, I don't know. I still keep the mic stand over there just to remind me of Lucille."
Who's this musician you have in town?
"Yeah, so you are telling me that you are depressed because there is only one musician left in town and he is so terrible? I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude. I just..." "Is that what you're telling me?"
He's not in at the moment, but his performances get kind of inappropriate."
"I would love to see these performances."
I agree.
If you hang around long enough, I'm sure Rick will make an appearance. He'll be around
later. That, I remember a Rick from the war.
Sounds familiar.
I'm sure he'll come around.
It exudes sexuality.
Lucy looks at you kind of strange, like, do you know Rick?
Don't we all know Rick?
Everyone knows a little Rick.
One way or another.
I guess. She pours you a beer, and at that moment, two men come up to the bar. One of the men kind of waves to Lucy, and then he ascends a staircase, and the man behind him you recognize as Ralph Greco. And he's talking to Lucy, and he looks over, and he lights his own cigarette, and he kind of nods. He takes two drinks, and then he walks up the staircase. He knocks on the door, and then you see the door open. He kind of slides in, and a little puff of smoke kind of comes down. It's obscured. It's hard to see in there.
I want to go in that room.
Yes, who's the most stealthy of us? Yes, perhaps whoever thinks they can go listen to the door. I'm very interested in what they're doing up there.
I'm going to go to bathroom. I'll be right back.
So as you make your way up the stairs, no one's paying attention to you. It's kind of a loud, raucous bar. You inch closer, there's a crack in the door. You can hear kind of like loud conversations coming in. You put your head to the door and you listen.
I think I hear very... I can pinpoint what is most important out of this conversation I'm overhearing.
So you hear Ralph Greco laughing. He's talking to another voice that you don't know. You haven't heard this man before. He's like, can you believe that guy hasn't been able to pay us the past week? And then, you know, kind of like the round of agreement. They're like, hey, and then another guy says, you're right. He's gone. He's done. A lot more authoritative. And that's it. And then you just hear the sounds of like what seems like a poker game being played.
I return to the table and I announce to the group, someone is going to be murdered for gambling debt.
As you look around the bar, there's a table of people who are mainly speaking French, and they seem to be very entranced by a woman. You're like laughing.
Oh my.
Can I perhaps introduce myself?
Absolutely. So you walk up to the table.
Bonjour. In French, I will speak and say, my fellow Frenchmen. French Canadian, perhaps? I am Inez de la Bouche. And you are?
The woman, who's quite striking.
Very beautiful.
As you can see, she has a very high appearance rating. I would say about an 80 to 85, depending on how the light moves. At this point, you're going to add 10 to everyone's appearance rating. You've had a couple drinks. And she says, yes, hello. My name is Linda Ito. I don't think I've seen you in here before. You or your friends. What brings you to Madawaska?
We are friends of the Sear family. I'm visiting for the first time. And Stella. Yes, Stella is a good friend of mine.
I am also worried sick. She's a good friend.
Really? Perhaps I can buy you a drink and we can all speak more about this together.
What I know to be certain is that my friend is missing and not enough people are treating it as serious as this needs to be.
Well, why do you think? Do you think because she is in danger?
How are you going to try to maybe persuade or...
I'm going to charm. Yes, let's see. I am, unfortunately, my breath smells as I try and lean in to give her the old Inez charm. It is just the smell of rancid oysters.
So she pulls back a little bit from you, and she's, I don't think it hurts for many people to be looking for her, but I will tell you this idea that she's sacked up with some lover, it has no ground. It's no basis in fact.
Are you also a lover?
Excuse me?
I say this under my breath. No judgment from me.
And she says, please, if you find yourself at Edmonston ever, please look me up. And the conversation resumes with her group.
I turn back to my friends and I say, damn it, the oysters are ruining my game. Give me another, please, Skip.
I start patting myself. I realize I'm running a little low. I reach into my back pocket where I keep the emergency oyster and I pull it out. I shuck it for you. And I'd say, better luck next time. And the oyster.
Slurp it down with grave satisfaction.
We both look at each other and just start We just nod.
You see some other people, an old, stern kind of man who seems very hard, seems very aggressive in the face, but is also somewhat large, jovial.
Aggressive in the face?
It's like, it's a very antiquated way of dressing. He seems to know everybody. There's a lone man at the end of the bar. You've seen him kind of, he hasn't really moved much. He's been there the entire time you have been there as well.
Are any of them very, very old?
The oldest man would be the one with the hard face.
Can I approach him and ask him if he's Zadok?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you Zadok Allen?
My good boy, do I look that old to you? Am I 150 or 180 years old, however old Zadok claims to be these days?
I am Arthur Book, town manager.
You manage the entire town.
I take you're not from Maine. You never heard of a managerial system of government? I'm like the mayor, if I can make it simple for you. Have you heard of a mayor's son? Do they have that in, what is that, Eastern European accent I'm tucking there?
Yes, it's Poland.
Hell of a thing those Nazis did to your country.
Hell of a hell thing we did to those Nazis.
Then the whole bar cheers.
Like, what brings you into town, young man?
I am a hospice care worker. I am to care for Zadok Allen.
Oh, that old crazy son of a gun. It's no secret he likes to drink, so I imagine he'll be here at some point tonight. I haven't seen him in a few days. You have to talk to Claude about him. And he wishes, hey, it's been great talking to you, son. He pats you on the shoulder and he turns around and he's talking to somebody else.
I'd like to maybe give it a stab with Arthur because of my business dealings. You know, I'm pretty connected in cities where there are oyster economies. Oysteronomies, as I like to call them. So I want to see if he recognizes me.
Absolutely. So he's boisterously laughing. He's ordering drinks on other people's tabs.
Arthur, how you been? Though I can't quite recall if we know each other. I just heard his name and I always assume that I do.
And he shakes your hand. He goes, my friend, my old friend, where you been?
And I say, yep, I've been around. You know, and then we both slowly realize that we don't know one another, and I say, well, just, you know, stay strong, and I pat him on the back, and I rejoin the group, and I just start shaking my head. I'm like, I wonder what's going on. I don't know what I'm thinking.
That looked really bad, man.
It felt bad.
At this point, I'm just crying over my potato vodka and smelling my letter.
Can I approach the gentleman that's not that's sullen over his booze at the end of the bar? I'm just looking over.
You know, he's dressed in a pretty plain kind of wool suit. Hasn't really talked to or engaged anybody and just seems to be staring straight ahead, kind of nursing a glass of ice water at this point. The drink is quite gone.
I'm gonna go up to him and there's an empty seat there. I'm just gonna nod to the group and I'm gonna go on over and then ask him if he has a light. I see that he's smoking. Sorry to bother you. Do you have a light?
Offers you the lighter. You're not bothering me. I'm Charles.
Hello, Charles. I'm Rose. You know, just arrived into town. Just wondering, what's the vibe around here?
I've been here about 3 weeks myself. Been working the census for the 1950 census here. You know, they sent me up from Bangor.
Big city.
I'm about ready to leave. Trains, man, I keep missing them.
You keep missing the train.
Can't get out. I got no car. I got no money.
Charles, would you like to join my friends over for a drink? They're lovely. Look how nice they look. Well, you know, come join us.
Potato vodka is good. It will make you shit yourself, but you will have memory forget.
I just want to forget.
We'll have our troubles, but you know, you're welcome to come over and share yours with us. And
yeah, you know, it'd be rude for me to turn down a drink.
Just gonna walk up to the table together and just gonna say, hey, this is our new friend, maybe. It's Charles.
Charles, you are a very beautiful person. I hope you like us as much as we like you.
I start shaking my head and I say, I'm plum out of oysters, buddy.
I'm gonna whisper to Charles, like,
Can I do a listen roll to see if I heard that snarky comment about Skip?
Absolutely.
I have been stealing oysters out of your pockets, by the way.
Well, first of all, I don't hear her say anything, so I just keep kind of sulking over my absence of oysters. I look over at Enos, and I just kind of give her this stare. I'm just like, what is it? Something's not right. And then I just take out my shucking knife, and I give it a quick lick. I like the brine.
Can't speak to liking brine myself, but...
You're not a brine man?
I guess I've never really considered my stance on brine.
You know, I like you. I use my foot and I push one of the chairs so he can sit down next to us.
Thank you kindly, sir.
I've been gazing at him like I want to eat him for dinner, and I put my finger over his lips and go, shh, 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 shh. Did you say your senses work out? If he tries to speak, my finger is still on his lips. Is that...
So at that moment, Claude enters the bar and he comes up and he's talking to Lucy. You can clearly see that when Claude came in, his relationship with Lucy is much more like boss. Like, as people walk by, they're definitely nodding and giving him the kind of like respect, looking Claude in the eye, a lot of like handshakes, pats on the back, things like that. And he comes over to you, Chris, and he says, Chris, did you get yourself settled in there?
No, I have not figured out my sleeping arrangement yet, as it seems very up in the air. But a concern of mine is that the bartender gave us the first round free, but she you still owe us my first drink.
Look, I gotta respect a man who collects his debts. Please accept a round for you and your friends on me. Lucy, get my friends here at top shelf. And
yes, perfect. Thank you.
Lucy kind of side-eyes him, shakes her head, and then she pours a round of whiskey for you and pushes it forward.
This does taste better than the potato vodka.
I agree.
Claude, what are you doing tonight?
Well, we're stopping in, checking on Lucy, seeing what's going on here at the bar.
I'm sorry, I did not introduce myself. I'm Inez de la Bouche.
It's nice to meet you. I understand that your relationship with Stella, she was a close friend of yours. You know, we're all hoping she turns up.
When was the last time you saw Stella? I'm leaning in a bit close to him.
2 weeks, I think it was the last time she was here at the bar. And,
You saw her 2 weeks ago, Claude?
Somewhere around there. I kind of lost track.
I know we also met briefly at the office, but I'm Rose Young. I think you know that I have a very close relationship with Vernon and Stella.
Vernon's mentioned you several times. My understanding is, you know, you're looking to help try to find Stella.
Yeah, whatever we can do to help Uncle Vernon and try to find Stella, we're here to help.
And if there's anything else I can do for you, please, a friend of Vernon is a friend of mine.
We'll consider that a favor.
Claude kind of bids you do, and he's kind of moving his way through the crowd. He's talking to Arthur Buck.
Well, I would like to ask Charles, just because he was censusing the town, if he saw Stella, if he censused her. I'm not sure if that is the word, to census someone, but...
I believe that's the proper verb.
I am.
Yes.
That's the verb. Okay, thank you very much. My English is not so good sometimes, so... Did you census the Stella, sir? Say you do. Essentially into his house.
Carlos back. Yeah, I remember Stella. You know, I met everybody in this town. You know, she was friendly. Just her and the husband in the house. No kids.
When did you see her, Charles?
I was at the house, maybe 3 weeks ago. That's a pretty memorable house. It's probably the biggest house in Madawaska. It's beautiful inside. I was just in the foyer, but the patterns alone in the foyer, you know, make your head spin when you look at them.
What do you mean by that? There's patterns on what, the wallpaper? I know Stella's a very artistic woman.
While you're talking to Charles, Chris walks over to Claude. Claude says, Chris, my good man, I believe you've met our town manager here, Arthur Buck. Arthur, this man right here, he's going to be overseeing our Zadok. Arthur laughs. I believe we might have discussed something like that. He even thought I was Zadok. And both of them kind of laugh and pass.
Yes,
Chris,
I was mistaken.
You know, Claude laughs. He says, well, you know, Arthur, you are looking pretty gray around the ears there.
And I say to Claude, I say, Claude, can I borrow you for a moment?
Arthur, please excuse us here. Me and Chris have to talk business, I'm afraid. You know, this is absolutely, and he saunters off.
What you were discussing earlier is very disturbing to me. I do not want to work for any employer or in any town where there might be foul play. Do you suspect Vernon of having murdered his wife? I say it in a way that is so terrifying, he pisses himself a little bit.
Whoa. Just look. Damn, you must have made those Nazis shake in their boots, friend. There's no violence in the man. He's a respectable man, but he's not men like you. He's really okay. Laying the toxic masculinity hard.
I accept your response.
You know, there are probably even better prospects for you here than just working for the mill, if one were so inclined.
I imagine there are. My hospice abilities can go far and wide. Everyone needs a little care sometimes.
Clauses, I'm glad we're on the same page, friend.
Yes, we continue this conversation later.
At that point, Vernon comes into the bar. He sees all of you over, and he... Let me take you over to the house right now. And get you all situated. Are you all coming to the house?
Do you have room for all of us?
Rose, Inez, Skiff, Chris, I would love to have you stay with me.
I am happy to go with you. I am feeling very sad now.
Yeah, I'm tired. I would love to drop my stuff off and take a break for a minute.
You gather your things, and he brings you to the Ward Manor. It's on a kind of hill that overlooks most of the town. It's kind of a big, looming building.
So I am sad, full of sadness and overwhelmed with... overwhelm is how you say, I think.
So he leads you into the apartment. and he kind of says, please help yourself. The bar is fully stocked. And talk more, but I can barely keep my eyes open. It's just been such a day. I'm so glad you're all here. I'll see you tomorrow.
Of course.
Turn a rest to your face and dream of dreams. That's a dream, I say. And I breathe into his mouth and a little bit. And he doesn't like that.
Well, that's all for this evening. Enjoy the respite while you can. The Friends of the Bone Chariot are Andy Diaz as Skiff Ruffman and Glenn Hart, Francis Lee as Inez de la Bouche, Justine Sweetman as Rose Young, Sam Reese as Christoph Dabrowski, and Joshua Storms as the narrator. Our website is bonechariot.com. You can contact us by screaming curses at the next blood moon.